This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's talk tech with Mike Agarbo of The App Show. Of course, you can find that program Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern time on AMI Audio. And you can find Mike in Vancouver, BC. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
So, Mike, let's talk about a story that broke late last week. The Canadian government announced that it would ban the use of both Huawei and ZTE's equipment from 5G networks. Now, Mike, we did play a bunch of sound from Jean-Philippe Champagne as well as Marco Mendicino talking about some of the security concerns here that Canada had in regard to these two Chinese tech giants being part of the 5G network. So I want to jump ahead a little bit in the conversation. What does this mean for telecom companies in Canada?
It means a huge hit to their bottom line. They've invested literally billions and billions of dollars in purchasing equipment from these two companies, especially Huawei. Huawei has made some of the more advanced equipment out in the market and the cheaper equipment as well. So it will hurt the big guys, and it'll especially hurt the little guys here in Canada as well. So they're going to have to pull all the 5G equipment by 2024, and they will also have to pull their existing 4G and LTE equipment as well by 2028. So billions of dollars, but I think that will hit back to the consumers eventually.
Right. What is the impact on consumers? Because when we're talking about pulling some of that technology back, or maybe even slowing the expansion, I can see how underserved populations are very much going to be impacted by this.
Yeah, there's no free ride here. I mean, they're businesses, they're corporations. So if they have a hit to their costs or their bottom line, that has got to come from somewhere. And typically that comes from the end of the line, the consumers or the customers. So I expect that there will be some price increases in their services in the coming years.
Mike, where do you think this is going to leave people who use Huawei cell phones or ZTE tablets? Because these are pretty common consumer products in Canada as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting just to see what the public perception is. Their products are still available to the public. The cell phones and laptops and wearables, they haven't been banned. But the perception has taken a hit, right? You know, when you talk to people about these companies now, they typically don't always have a favorable overview of them just because of everything that's going on. So definitely their other businesses here will take a hit as well.
Yeah, I just find it fascinating, right, that we say, hey, these two companies can't be involved in infrastructural technology, but can still be involved in consumer technology. And of course, the stakes are different between those two levels. But it does strike me as a little bit odd that we say, a little concerned about these companies, but if you want to keep them in your back pocket or put like your bank information on them, that's fine. Enjoy.
It is interesting, you know, but you have to keep in mind, though, you know, much like all these other tech companies that are making software and hardware, they typically have to adhere to, you know, certain international standards when it comes to privacy and what have you. And they've got those designations. So I don't know if they're necessarily unsafe devices out there, to your point. So yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how much longer they can continue to sell their products in North America and the European Union, just because of the volume of sales. Like, will it decrease because of all this? We'll have to see.
Right, it's a brand association thing, right? The people here banning 5G, banning Huawei and banning ZTE, they're going to say, "Oh, banning Huawei and ZTE, but they're trying to sell me this phone." I can see how there'd be definitely a little bit of a dissonance there, and how that market could dry up. And it's worth noting, Mike, just for the sake of balance here, the Chinese government saying that there is no nefarious play here from these two companies, and that Canada and the other alliance members of the Five Eyes, being Australia, New Zealand, England, the US, and Canada, that they're overblowing this. This is political. So, there is that perspective to be shared there, but I don't think you or I are necessarily qualified to evaluate that argument.
Well, it's interesting, right? You know, they're going after them with these technologies here. You know, I look around my house and, you know, everything's made in China. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. China is the manufacturing center of the world. So, yeah, you can pick on these two companies right now. But again, you just have to look at everything else that's made in that country, too. So it's going to be an interesting few years.
Mike, let's talk about a different tech company, which is Apple, who are facing a lawsuit around AirPods due to an incident that a 12-year-old had. So what happened here in regards to an Amber Alert and some AirPods?
Yeah, this is interesting and, you know, unfortunate. Apparently this 12-year-old was listening to something on his AirPod Pros, and an Amber Alert came in, I guess, on the cell phone that he was listening to it on. And as you know, with the Amber Alerts, they just kind of spike up the volume, you know, when you get them on your smartphone. Mm-hmm. So apparently this caused some damage to his ears. It apparently pierced the eardrums, ruptured them, and now they say he has to wear a hearing aid for the rest of his life.
It's one of those stories where it's really striking and it's really jarring, and it certainly leads to some questions about accountability all across the board, right? It leads to, why are the Amber Alerts so loud in the first place, right? We understand there's an emergency here, but is this really the kind of thing that should be blowing out eardrums? But there's also a very specific concern about volume settings on the AirPods Pro and perhaps certain controls that users don't have. So what are these concerns around the volume settings?
Well, they claim basically that the AirPods don't automatically reduce control limit or increment notification or alert volumes to safe levels when they come out. So, you know, I haven't tried this myself, obviously, but, you know, it's something that we're going to have to look into a little more. You know, especially with, you know, younger children, it's always a concern to make sure that any type of headphones or earbuds that they're using have safe volume levels. I mean, they actually make specific headphones for kids that have reduced volumes on there. So it'll be interesting to see how Apple responds and, you know, how many other cases like this have happened out there.
Yeah, I know, for example, on my Android phone, there is a very strict volume control. If you want to go any higher, you need to give it kind of an approval. So, for example, if something comes in, even like an Amber Alert, or when we had the storm warning here in Ontario on Saturday, if you're listening to your headphones, yes, you will get blasted, you will notice, but there's still a regulator inside the phone, inside the headphones, to say, no, it cannot go louder than this without approval.
Yeah. Again, it remains to be seen how, you know, Apple has dealt with that. You know, mm-hmm. there have been people that have complained on their support website just about things like, you know, incoming phone calls, for example. They're listening to music quietly. A phone call comes in, it just kind of blasts that at full volume. So it's, you know, obviously, if Apple wasn't aware of it before, they certainly are now.
They sure are. Hey, Mike, let's go back to a story relating to China, because Airbnb is shutting down domestic rental, where the zero COVID policy in various major cities are dealing with rolling and ongoing lockdowns. Just out of curiosity, to lay some landscape here, how big an operation does Airbnb have in China?
It wasn't as big as the rest of the world. Apparently, it only accounted for 1% of their sales. So that being said, you know, I think around 25 million people have booked Airbnbs in China since they actually went into that country back in 2016. So, I mean, there is, you know, a good chunk of folks that are using the service, but I think they've been having a difficult time, especially during the pandemic, and that now they have the zero COVID policy where they lock down entire cities. So it looks like it's more of a pain for them right now. So that's why they're going to be exiting that country for the time being.
Yeah, we saw very similar policies or similar issues popping up on Airbnb in the pandemic here during some of our initial lockdowns, some of the more stringent ones. And of course, things regulated pretty quickly on the Airbnb front. Does this appear simply to be a temporary decision? So, for example, if China either reconsiders the zero COVID policy, or let's keep our fingers crossed here, one day the pandemic actually comes to an end, that Airbnb will make its way back into the Chinese market?
I would say never, but apparently it was a difficult operation even before the pandemic. It was expensive and complicated to run. I think they even had to rename themselves to something that you know, the local population could pronounce easier. So I don't know if they're going to be coming running back anytime soon.
interesting. We're going to be exploring some of this economic protectionism a little bit in the next segment with Craig Oliver, our veteran political correspondent. It seems like it's one more story, whether it's Starbucks or McDonald's in China, Airbnb in China, McDonald's and Airbnb in Russia. Okay, Dave, talk properly. McDonald's and Starbucks in Russia or Airbnb in China. It seems like there is some of this pulling back going on in terms of the integrated economy. So it's a fascinating one. Hey, Mike, thank you for these stories today. Have a wonderful day out there.
Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.